Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
ASPN, Los Angeles. Your city, your teams, your station. 710 ESPN. In sports, there's winning and losing and getting injured. That's why there's Dr. Clapper.
Dr. Robert Clapper is the head of orthopedic surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center.
It's Saturday morning, and it's time for Dr. Clapper.
Silence is golden when you can't think of a good answer.
This is the Weekend Warrior Show, presented by Cedars-Sinai on ESPN LA 710 and the ESPN app.
Hey, Dr. Clapper.
How are you?
Yes, Doc, I love your show.
Thank you.
Now, here he is, Dr. Robert Clapper.
Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. What a pleasure to be here today. Bring a little bit of joy and happiness into each and every one of your lives. Can't keep me away from this microphone. Although, you can only imagine as an orthopedic surgeon what my life has been like these past few days, weeks, and going forward. But as Abraham Clapper, my dad, said, this too shall pass. It will. My guest today at 7:15 was the great Heather Alley, who runs a surf school here in Los Angeles. What was most intriguing to me about her was that she's so prideful of where she's from, which is the Big Island of Hawaii. It's in her blood. She doesn't just have blood in her arteries and veins. She's got seawater. Because when you come from Hawaii, the ocean is in your physical being. But it's the case for all of us to have pride in our work. Kobe Bryant was from Italy. He was so prideful of being from Italy. I have a great soundbite of his speaking in Italian. He couldn't wait to speak in Italian so that you could be reminded of all that is Italy. Passione is how you say passion in Italian. Listen to Kobe talking about passion for life, passion for his family, passion for everything.
La passione. La passione per la vita, la passione per giocare a pallacanestro e fare la cosa che ami con tutto il cuore. Sempre la passione in Italia, la passione con la famiglia, sai, con i figli, con tutte le cose che è importante per te, per avere nella tua vita, è rimasta sempre con me, sempre con Italia, era sempre un posto nel mio cuore.
Rebecca, let's play the soundbite where you hear Kobe making fun of my New York accent, because when people travel from all over to come see me, it's one thing they're going to know. I'm from Far Rockaway. I'm from New York. I'm Dr. Clapper. There's no R in that word, right? Listen to Kobe.
What's going on, L.A.? This is Kobe Bryant.
That's right. Mahalo. Aloha.
Start your weekend off right. Listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
Ahui hoi.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
What a gift to be able to play that, knowing that he's making fun of a New York accent. Be proud of where you're from. Be proud of it and let everybody know it, because it'll creep in a good way into everything that you do. We're in art, the world I love. We're in sports, the world I love. And we're in surgery. Do you see that pridefulness? So I thought about it all week. Well, in art, it was Joni Mitchell. She's from Canada, from the plains of Saskatchewan, where the wind howls, wide open spaces. But the beauty of nature that she grew up in, it's in all of her songs, and you can hear it in her voice. Listen to her talk about Canada in A Case of You.
On the back of a cartoon coaster, in the blue TV screen light, I drew a map of Canada. Oh, Canada. With your face sketched on it twice.
A voice like an angel. She wrote these songs. She sang these songs. And she's so proud of being Canadian. Here she is in 1965, singing, being interviewed by these two Canadian people who think they've just discovered the moon by being able to talk to her.
Joni Mitchell, a very young lady, Saskatchewan born. And we're, if you've never heard of her before, if you've met her for the first time here, and you're going to meet her again quite a bit during your lifetime, you're just starting out, sort of, aren't you?
Actually, I've been singing professionally now for 2 years, but I consider that I've only started within the last year because I've only felt that I've begun to have my own way to go, my own songs and my own guitar style, and I'm starting to get my own vocal styling now.
Did you ever bomb? I can't believe that.
Oh, I don't know. I think bombing is a thing that is felt in your head sometimes. I've done performances where I didn't particularly excite anyone. I think they said, well, that's nice. You know? Mm-hmm. Whereas I think that now sometimes that I can excite people.
So she's feeling the criticism, but she ain't stopping. And she's going to tell everybody, I'm from Canada.
Your songs have an interesting quality about them. They're very, for want of a better word, I think one just has to say poetic.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have a kind of eternity about them. They're not just about love and loss and the things that we normally associate with this kind of singing.
Well, I'm very Canadian. You know that I live in the States now.
Did you know that?
No, you don't.
Well, I'm married an American and I'm living in Detroit. And I found that I've become more Canadian since I've moved to the States. I think maybe you do that. And the songs that I've been writing within the last year have had more and more of a prairie flavor, if not... throughout the song, at least I set the song in Canada. For instance, I've written a song about a carnival in Kenora and things like that, and I'm always looking for Canadian ideas, you know, Canadian places instead of Carnival in Detroit, which sounds like a drag anyway. You see all these cars going around in circles or something.
When you're from Hawaii, you talk about the aloha spirit. When you're from New York, you talk about nothing's impossible. When you're from the prairie lands of Saskatchewan in Canada, you talk about happiness and joy.
Well, Joni, who are you singing all these songs to? The sort of coffee house group, do they already know the message, or is there a message that you're trying to give them or anybody?
The general message of my songs, I guess, is just happiness. Most of them have happy endings, and I don't write protesty things. If they protest at all, it's very subtle, and they're sort of... The message comes out like, don't do this or try not to be that way, but it's still through happiness so that it doesn't stand up there and sort of preach at people.
Some people have a problem with happiness. When the early missionaries came to Hawaii, Captain Cook and his gang, they saw the Polynesians riding waves. Naked, by the way. They said, oh, no, we can't have any of that. They're having too much fun. How could people have a problem with happiness? Joni Mitchell, she met those critics, but she also met them head on.
What do you mean by happiness, Joni?
Well, as a matter of fact, while I was here, while I was in Toronto the last time, I got a bad review, and what the review amounted to, I think, was that I was too happy, and he criticized it for lack of depth. It was sort of like everything was happy, you know. He said, I wasn't saccharine, but I was a little hearts and flowery, that's what he said. Mind you, I should say now, too, that I had two excellent reviews. Plus this one that wasn't so good.
She's feisty in that way. I love it.
So he criticized me for being happy, and that's what I think my songs are. I can't explain it any more than that. They're just, even the sad songs aren't depressing. They're just sort of wistful.
Have you always been happy?
I try to be. No, nobody's happy all the time.
Have you always wanted to be a happy singer and writer of songs?
Well, I started out in folk music, of course, doing traditional ballads, which were these long English things about Lady So-and-so's mm-hmm. husband killed her while her lover was standing at the foot of the bed and things, and House of the Rising Sun, about a girl who's been led astray, and I think maybe that's why my songs are all happy, because in the beginning they were all so dreary. They were beautiful, but they were, you know, they were just very miserable songs.
Good for you, Joni Mitchell.
Is there a big future in happiness? You think this is...
Well, I don't know. I've been told by a couple of people I'm not what's currently happening, baby, but I think that they'll come around. I had a long talk with a fellow named Paul Allen, who is one of the people who did the Endless Summer
Oh, yeah.
And they told him the same thing, that his movie wasn't currently What Was Happening, Baby, because it was too happy and it didn't have any drama or anything, you know, or sex in it or plot and all these things.
It just happens to be a perfectly beautiful picture.
It was a lovely picture, so he convinced me that there was hope for happy things.
Lovely picture. Paul Allen was the marketing guy for Bruce Brown, who I knew very well and was a very dear friend of mine, who made The Endless Summer. You ask me one of my top five movies of all time, The Endless Summer is in that list. The most successful surf movie ever, traveling around the world. Now that you're in your homes, go watch that movie from 1966. It'll blow your mind. But the big movie companies, they didn't want to play the movie for exactly what she said. So you know what Paul Allen did? He rented a theater in Wichita, Kansas in February. Biggest snowstorm they ever had in Kansas. And they put up on the movie theater, we're going to be showing The Endless Summer. No advertising, no nothing. This is in 1966. The movie sold out for a week straight. That's when they said, okay, Columbia Pictures, or whoever it was at the time, how do you like them apples? So they distributed the film, and people lined up around the block to see The Endless Summer. That's what Joni Mitchell had to do. Listen to David Crosby, one of the greatest singer-songwriters of all time, what it was like to meet Joni Mitchell for the first time, the girl from Canada, who he brought down to Los Angeles.
Overwhelming. I'm a singer-songwriter. You walk in and somebody's doing it at that level, it's going to blow your mind. And she did. I walked in and she was singing, you know, Both Sides Now or Michael from Mountains or something like that, and just slayed me completely. Brought her back to Los Angeles, and I'd gather a bunch of people in a room, and we would all adjust ourselves and get ourselves ready, and then she would sit down and sing. That's all it takes.
This is Leslie Morris, the manager for one of the most successful bands, talking about her opinion of Joni Mitchell.
Joni Mitchell is the best songwriter ever born, as far as I'm concerned. She's, you know, she's prolific. She outdoes them all. I think that's the trouble that they have with each other. You know, I think they're all in awe of her. I think they all respect her songwriting and her abilities. And she's very complex and very intimidating.
The music flows out of her. The joy, the happiness from Canada.
Well, you work all week on a song, and, you know, you'd say, hey, honey, listen to this. Guinevere had green eyes, you know. And she'd come and say, that's really nice, David. Here, I did these ones this morning. And she'd sing three, and they'd be fantastic. And you'd go,
Really? Crosby thinks he was tough being in the same room as Joni as a songwriter? You know, join the club, friend. What do you think it was like for me living with her in Laurel Canyon with one piano? She was constantly writing, constantly. And I loved it. I mean, I witnessed some incredible moments of creation from Joni Mitchell. But it was tough to get to the piano.
Well, here's more from David Crosby.
You know, I mean, you can't help but be thrilled by the music, but the truth is, I think I was inspired by it more than discouraged by it. I wasn't really discouraged by it. It's just a joke. Huh. I was inspired by it, I think, very strongly.
Wow.
I realized that she had done what a folk singer does. They do a kind of an indicated arrangement. Their thumb becomes the bass, and their fingers become the band. She had a very complete arrangement in her guitar playing and her dulcimer playing.
But, you know, when you're talking about people like Van Dyke or Randy or Joni or Neil or whoever, you're dealing with visionaries, and what they see and how they look at the future is unlike us, you know.
But she looks at the world through Canadian eyes. And in Canada, they get four seasons. You feel the weather. You feel the conditions. It's just unique to Canada. This is one of my favorite songs from Joni Mitchell called Urge for Going. Just listen to a few seconds of this. And she's painting a picture for you.
Thank you.
I awoke today and found the frost perched on the town. It hovered in a frozen sky, then gobbled summer down. When the sun turns traitor cold and all the trees stand shivering in a naked row, I get the urge for going, but I never seem to go. I get the urge for going when the meadow grass is turning brown and summertime is falling down and winter's closing in.
You don't need a painting, you don't need a picture to show you what fall is. Urge for going. She did it. She's Canadian, and it's in her music. When you're Hawaiian, it's in you forever as well. Kalani Robb, a fantastic pro surfer, talking about the woman who taught him how to surf, the Queen of Makaha, Rel's son, how inspiring she was, this woman from Hawaii.
I looked up to a lot of surfers for a lot of different reasons, of course, but I think the one that stood out the most for me was Auntie Rel, Rel's son. To have her going out, like, I was very young, but seeing her go on rip, you're like, oh my god, like, that's insane. You know, she surfs as good as the guys do, like all the good guys, you know. Style is everything, I think, in surfing, because at the end of the day, whatever maneuver you do or barrel or whatever it may be, if it doesn't look stylish, it's kind of not very cool, you know. But Auntie Rel was super good. Like, that's my biggest thing. I think everybody that I look up to have always had, like, really clean style.
The kindness that she had, we call it the spirit of aloha. Duke Hanamoku possessed it. So did Rel's son. But just like every wave is different, every snowflake is different, every fingerprint is different, every child is different that she met, but she made each and every one of them seem special as she taught surfing to so many.
I knew Auntie Rel pretty well. I mean, every time I would go to Makaha, I would see her as a kid surfing the contest. I mean, there's hundreds of kids there, and I definitely felt special because she would always come up and always be so cool to me and always, like, take the time to talk to me, like, a real conversation. And what was so crazy is, as special as I felt, I literally could look around, and after she talked to me, she talked to another kid and be just as special to him.
Kalani Robb, one tough guy. You can go on YouTube and watch him have a fist fight with Rob Machado. He don't take crap from anybody. But here he says, in life, I want to be like Auntie Rel.
I hope that when the kids run into me, or even adults, that I'm doing the best thing I could do because Auntie Rel and the people who I've been, you know, influenced by have done good with me. I want to be like Auntie Rel. Like, that was my deal. You know what I mean? Like, there's all these different types of flavors, and my flavor was, I wanted to be that. You know, I want to influence the kids. I want people to know that, listen, that don't forget. It happens so fast that you weren't that big time dude, and then when you are, then you forget. Don't forget, because that's not cool.
When you're proud of where you come from, your life is a smoother and better journey. And to be able to inspire people behind us, the young ones, is what it's all about. That's why I do this show, hopefully to inspire you. Coming up next, I'll take your calls. The clinic will be open. Hang on the line, Tom and Anthony, Frank, Steve, Jack. I'll get to your calls. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors show here on 710 ESPN.
What's going on, LA? This is Kobe Bryant.
Tell him Dr. Clapper sent you.
Start your weekend off right. Listening to the Weekend Warriors show with Dr. Clapper.
Hey, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. Forget about it there, all right? No more beer.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN. 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
Check this out. Weekend Warrior is on the air.
From the epicenter of sports in the Southland.
ESPN LA 710. With Dr. Robert Clapper, board-certified orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai Health Associates.
Just love listening to Joni Mitchell songs. Great job, Rebecca. just goes right to your heart hearing that song. Plus when she says help, it's like John Lennon singing help. Beautiful. All right, clinic's open. Let's take some calls. Let's go to Tom in Valencia. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Hi, doctor.
Thanks for staying on the line so long. I'm sorry to make you wait so long.
Yeah, no problem. So I have a shoulder injury that I developed at work.
What kind of work you do, Tom?
I'm a mechanic.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I have the best piston. I have the best piston collection in Los Angeles because I did surgery on one of my favorite patients from Barstow. And I asked him one day, what do you do for a living? I did his hip, his knee, his shoulder. I said, what do you do for a living? He says, I'm a diesel mechanic. I said, I built a visible V8 engine when I was young, and I just love engines. He goes, really? You like it? I go, yeah, and I love pistons. So he comes to my office one day with the piston from a Sherman tank. So
wow.
I put that on in one of the exam rooms, and I don't know, a month later, a guy comes, hey, Dr. Clapper, you know, I need my hip done, and can you do my hip? Yeah, sure, I'll take care of you. By the way, can I ask you a question? Yeah, why do you have a giant piston here? I said, oh, because I love engines, and I love mechanics, and I love how they work, and that's a piston from a patient of mine who is a diesel mechanic for the Sherman tanks in Barstow. And he
wow.
said, well, I'm the MTA bus mechanic, and if you like pistons, I'll bring you a piston from the MTA buses. So he brought me the next week a piston from an MTA bus. Well, you can only imagine how many mechanics I get to take care of. I have the biggest collection from Yamaha motorcycles. I got a locomotive. It's the biggest piston I've ever seen. So I love mechanics because, in essence, that's a part of the inspiration for becoming an orthopedic surgeon. Except instead of a car and an engine, I want to know how your shoulder works, your knee works, your hip works. And it's the same damn thing. Yep, we got little pistons. You know where there's a piston in our body that's a bone? This is the coolest thing. But right behind your eardrum, you're listening to me right now on the radio. It's because that drum, just like a bongo drum, is your ear membrane, the tympanic membrane. But right behind it are three tiny, tiny little bones that have joints, which can become arthritic as you get older, by the way. But they piston back and forth, turning the sound wave with these three little bones, ultimately by moving them into an electrical energy that goes into your brain so that you can hear different sounds. So there's a piston
amazing.
In your ear. Isn't that fascinating? And I'm like, listen, I'm sure I'm the only medical student going, wow, that's just like a piston that Tom in Valencia works on. It's the same damn thing.
I'll be sending you another one, too. You could add it to your collection.
That's exactly right, Tom. I can't wait. So, talk to me. What hurts?
Okay, so initially, it didn't feel like it was anything super major, but what I started noticing was I am also a guitar player. Mm-hmm. Playing my guitar with my right hand, I start to get that pain. Mm-hmm. Brushing my teeth, sleeping. And then, of course, anything that's kind of, you know, going to the gym, I pretty much had to just stop with any kind of weights or anything.
How long has it been?
It's probably been about 4 months.
And how young are you?
I'm 46.
46. Okay, so at age 40, the wheels start to fall off the wagon. It's called altacarditis. Welcome to old age. And the issues come from not only the growing of bone spurs, the wearing out of the cartilage, but just like that bungee cord that you leave out in the back of your truck in the sun and the weather really beats it up, or look at the back of your skin and pinch the back of your skin right now and let go, and you'll see it takes a half an hour for your skin to flatten versus a teenager. We dry out, so the tendons start to become less elastic. They dry out. So do you have an MRI of your shoulder?
I did.
So do you have the impression? Can you read me the impression and read it slowly? So you know what Clapper Vision is?
Yep.
All right, I'm going to give you some Clapper Vision, so get ready.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Rotator cuff tendonitis with low-grade partial intrasubstance tear of
Love it.
Scapular tendon.
Love it.
No
okay.
high-grade or full-thickness rotator cuff.
You're a lucky man.
Two lines on it. Okay.
All right, do me a favor, Tom. Don't let them shoot you with cortisone. They love doing this. No needles, no stem cells, no cockamamie, no needles into your shoulder. Why? Because you have life left in this shoulder. Partial intrasubstance means, so here's a Clapper Vision for you. You take those pair of jeans, those Levi's, right? The big style now, which I still cannot understand, is women actually buy them with a hole in them, okay? When I was growing up, when they got a hole in them, you threw them away, right? No, mm-hmm. now you actually buy them and have to spend extra money to get one with a hole in it. Okay, I'm definitely from the wrong generation. But when I grew up, you bought Levi's jeans, and you really wanted to beat the hell out of them, so you made your mother put them in the wash and wash them again and again, like 10 times, because it would start to break down the coarseness of the denim and it would be softer, but it didn't have a hole in it. But what you now realize is that that breakdown of the canvas material makes it more comfortable, makes it softer. And then it can almost get too soft where the denim can be thinned, but not a hole yet, but it can be thinned. Believe it or not, your rotator cuff, here's the clapper vision, is like the denim of those Levi's jeans. And forget about other companies. There's only one jeans. It's Levi's. And I'm sure I'll get in trouble for this, but what the hell. But there's Levi's jeans. So they're fresh. You buy them. You don't want to wear them. They're too stiff. But with holes in them, I don't want that either. You want them to be broken in a little bit. So partial intra-substance tear is not necessarily coming from you picking up something too much overhead or actually hurting. This is you getting older with a physical job. It's not like you're sitting behind a desk, although I got plenty of patients who are accountants or IT people, and they get the same kind of thing. But a terrible combination is taking place. You, Tom from Valencia, not only have the beginnings of a bone spur that's growing down to scratch your pair of jeans and fraying it mechanically, but also you're drying out because you're 47 and not 27, so it's getting intra-substance. It's not even from the bone spur, although the partial thickness tear is from the bone spur, but the substance itself is starting to break down. So, is there a pill? Is there a shot that's going to grow hair back on top of my head? No. But if someone says to me, go ahead, take this pill, your hair's going to grow back completely on top of your head, you know that that's too good to be true. So, what you want to do is always try to avoid surgery first. And that means you're a perfect candidate for a physical therapist. So you need to make sure that, and you don't need no second opinions. Just tell them Dr. Clapper said you're going to physical therapy. But after a month, if your shoulder still continues to wake you up and hurt you when you put a jacket on or put your seatbelt on or reach in the back seat of the car, give it about a month of physical therapy. If it's not better, then it's bad advice to tell you not to meet a surgeon, because you would benefit, like the thousands of other people I've taken care of over 31 years, of arthroscopically going in there, getting rid of the spur, cleaning up the joint so that it doesn't become a full thickness tear. So
I have had therapy for about a month now, and it's really no different.
Then they're fired, and then you need to find someone either in Valencia or you'll come and see me or whatever, but you need to find a good orthopedic surgeon who you can trust, who isn't going to stick needles in there, because you're a great candidate and will do extremely well if it's done right. You want an artist, not a robot, to take care of your shoulder. Okay, Tom?
Doctor, I'm going to see the surgeon this week. What do I tell him if they bring up the cortisone? What do I say to the doctor?
You tell him that you listen to Dr. Clapper every Saturday and he said not to, and he'll go, well, I don't care what Dr. Clapper says. I'm giving you a shot. Then you got to make up your own mind because it's a free country.
Okay.
All right, Tom. God bless you.
Thanks.
And remember, it's always good to get a second opinion. All right?
Gotcha. Thank you, doctor.
Okay. God bless you, Tom. All right. Let's take a break. We'll pay some bills. Anthony in Pasadena, stay on the line. I'm going to take you next. I'm making you wait too long. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors show here on 710-ESPN.
What's going on, L.A.? This is Kobe Bryant.
All right.
Start your weekend off right, listening to the Weekend Warriors show with Dr. Clapper.
I have a Beatles wig on.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
Check this out. Weekend Warrior is on the air.
From the epicenter of sports in the Southland.
ESPN LA 710. With Dr. Robert Clapper, board-certified orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai Health Associates.
Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Listening to Joni Mitchell. Because she's from Canada. And it's in her songs and it's in her singing. Pride and where you're from. That's today's topic. All right, let's go to Anthony in Pasadena. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Hey, Doc, good morning. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for staying on the line so long. I apologize.
Oh, no, I love it. I love it.
All right. How old are you, Anthony?
Me, I'm 39.
Oh, when's your big birthday?
Actually, I'll be 39 in May, so I'm almost 39.
Oh, okay. So you got a year of bliss, man. And then get ready for you're going to have to call me every week by the time you turn 40.
I feel you. You know.
And I'm 62, so I went through 40, 50, and 60. Oh, my God. What are you going to do for your 40th birthday? You have a plan?
You know what? I think I want to travel a little bit more when I turn 40. So somewhere tropical and warm and where the oceans are.
Have you ever been to Mount Rushmore?
I haven't.
All right. Let me tell you something. That's where you need to go. Turning 40 is a monumental birthday. You need to celebrate by seeing a monument. Do you know you can fit the Statue of Liberty into George Washington's nose? That's how big this thing is. You don't need to go to Egypt to see the pyramids. We got our own pyramids right here, and they are at Mount Rushmore. Gutzon Borglum, the sculptor who made Mount Rushmore, he had over 400 people working. They were miners. They were ranchers, and he made them become artists, and they built Mount Rushmore. Not one serious injury, not one fatality because of how careful he was, and his studio is still there in South Dakota where he trained these guys. It will blow your mind. You'll never forget it for the rest of your life. Go to Mount Rushmore. That's my advice. How can I help you? What's up?
It sounds pretty amazing, actually. It's actually for my girlfriend. I'm calling for her because... Because
she's too shy to get on the radio. That's why.
Well, I love listening to you in the morning, and I'm getting off work. So, I wanted to kind of give her some advice that you kind of bring over to all us listeners. So,
okay. Thank you.
She has a... We just got word that she's got a slipped disc in her lower back, about 6 millimeters or so, or it's protruding 6 millimeters.
Okay.
She gets these pains and shoots all the way down the left side of her leg.
Yep.
And it's hard for her to sleep, and it just keeps getting worse. When she went to go see the doctor, they've told her kind of a bunch of different things and pain management and therapists and look for a neurosurgeon and all that kind of stuff, but really no answers. So trying to figure out maybe what she can do to solve her problem a little bit.
So there's a great line. I hope I get it right, and I forgot who even said it. But doctors are the doctor's role is to give you something to do while nature heals you. Something like that. So the bottom line is don't just go for reduction of the symptoms, which is what the medical profession and the drug companies are all about, in my opinion. That everybody's going after the pain she has and the spasms and all the rest of it with drugs that are designed to go after pain and after the spasms and all the rest of it. The reality is you have to go after what's causing those symptoms, all right? Don't give me Robitussin if I'm coughing. I will feel better if I stop coughing. But if I'm coughing and it's because of a bacterial infection, you better give me antibiotics, okay? In other words, that'll stop you coughing faster than the Robitussin. So, your girlfriend, and if this was me, 6 millimeters is a big disc. It's nothing to mock. And you know what? She may end up needing surgery under the microscope. But if it's my back, before I let anybody touch me, I'm going to try my best to not have surgery. And how do you do that? There have been all kinds of studies that looked at traction, that looked like at all kinds of modalities for what to do with someone with a herniated disc in their lower back, particularly a young person like your girlfriend. This is needed to rest. The traction, all that does is it attaches you to all this equipment, but it forces you to not get out of bed. And ultimately, that's really the answer. What does that mean? You get up to go to the bathroom, you get up to eat. But other than that, 2, 3, 4 days, just stay in bed with a pillow behind your knees and don't move. You usually, and I mean 90% and more, will start to see it subside. The mistake people make is they start to feel a little bit better and they start to do stuff and they really get a rebound. But I, and this is my opinion, other people are welcome to their opinions, I hate cortisone. I don't want an epidural. I don't want pain management.
That's what they're trying to.
I know all that stuff exists, but I don't want that. I want to just shut it down rest. That's it. Get up to go to the bathroom. Get up to eat. You're going to be a great boyfriend for her by doing all the stuff that she don't have to do. And I will tell you, not 51%. I'm talking greater than 90% chance she's going to start for the first time to feel better. And I love pool exercises. No, don't even do pool exercises now. Just get it to quiet itself down. Because just like when you get poked in the eye, it gets red, it gets swollen, it hurts, right? Because of the swelling causes more pain. As she starts to feel better, because the swelling's coming down, she's still going to have the disc, but it's less of a size of a disc. Now, if she does this bed rest for a good week or two and doesn't feel any better, then yes, I wouldn't waste time with shots and the pain management. Then you need to see someone good who knows spines. And I'll give you a couple of names right off the bat from Cedars that I love. Terrence Kim, Robert Pashman, Lionel Hunt. These are great surgeons if you need one. Patrick Johnson. These are great surgeons that can operate on my spine if I need it. But guess what? I got a bad disc in my neck, and I have not had anybody operate. I got a disc in my lower back. I have not had anybody operate because I do practice what I preach, and I did not have steroids. So that's my advice for you to give her, but you've got some names now if you need them, okay?
Perfect. Thank you, Doc. And I just want to say real quick, I'm born and raised in L.A., third generation, and, you know, let you guys on the radio know that, you know, visit our local shops and visit our local restaurants because the big chains can last this wave that we're hitting right now, but the small business places that serve us every day, they're the ones that need some help. So go out there and travel L.A. for a little bit.
Anthony, did you hear my recipe for clachos?
I did. I'm actually a nacho fan, so I might try some of those clachos later on.
Love you, Anthony. Thanks so much. Make it a thing that we all can do until this coronavirus gets the hell out of here. And this too shall pass. And thanks so much for the call. All right, we'll take a break. We'll pay some bills. Some of you tuning in now want to know, what is he talking about? What are clachos? I'm going to tell you what clachos are coming up next. It's a concoction of Dr. Clapper making nachos his own special way. I discovered it last Sunday after surfing. Oh, my God, is it delicious. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show. The number is 877-710-ESPN every Saturday morning here on 710-ESPN.
What's going on, L.A.? This is Kobe Bryant.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Start your weekend off right, listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
Google the Guggenheim.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
Check this out. Weekend Warrior is on the air.
From the epicenter of sports in the Southland.
ESPN LA 710. With Dr. Robert Clapper, board-certified orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai Health Associates.
Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. That's Joni Mitchell.
Sitting in a parking lot.
You can't even sing along. She's so special. But she is the best. Joni Mitchell from Canada. Proud of where you're from. In the first hour, I talked about you can't go to the restaurant anymore. Can't sit down. It's the first time in 9 years I didn't go to the pantry before this show. But I love creating. I love art. I love sports. I love surgery. So last Sunday, I was out surfing with my buddies. And I got hungry. And I couldn't wait to get home. Because I wanted to make something special. What did I really want to eat? And all I had was some stale nacho chips. So I created something called clachos. Dr. Clapper's version of nachos. Here it is. You all need to try this. Take a strip of aluminum foil, some stale chips. My mouth is watering already. Lay them out on that tin foil for your toaster oven so that they're all touching each other. Then slice some Monterey Jack cheese with jalapeno in it. Love that. I have a whole bar of it. So that the cheese is touching, covering those chips. Put it in the toaster oven until it goes ding. When it goes ding, the smell alone will kill you because you've toasted chips with cheese melted on top. But the key is the aluminum foil that you made it on. Now take that aluminum foil, with the chips and the cheese melted on it to a plate. Now, turn up the heat on the stove, a lot of butter, and two eggs. Crack them sunny side up till they're almost burnt, because I love cooking things till they're almost burnt. But they're sunny side up, so the yolk is still good. Now, take those two eggs and put them. And by the way, I know how to make chili killies. I get it. Where you put the chips that are stale in the egg and you make it like matzo brei or French toast. I don't want soft chips. I want them to be crispy. That's why I invented this recipe. Take those two eggs and put them on top of the upside down melted cheese chips. That's the whole beauty of having them on the aluminum foil. You can turn it upside down. Now lay those two eggs on the crispy side up chips. The cheese is on the plate. And now gently roll those chips on top of covering the eggs. And pour some of that La Victoria red salsa all over it. And to be honest with you, I even cheated and put a little sour cream in there as well. You now take that fork and crack into the crispy chips, the melted cheese, the red salsa, and the sour cream mixing. And guess what happens when your fork hits those chips? It cracks the egg yolk and it spills out onto your crispy chips. It's the greatest thing ever. They're nachos by Dr. Clapper, better known as Clachos. Treat yourself. It's going to be great. I can't wait to get home already. All right, the number is 877-710-ESPN. Let's go to Mark in San Pedro. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Hey, Dr. Clapp.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging on the line. Sorry it's been so long.
That's all right. No problem. So the problem is...
What do you do for a living, Mark?
I'm a longshoreman.
All right. Have you ever peed on your hand because a rusty nail went into your finger?
Not that I can remember, no.
My father used to work on the docks when he was like 16 years old, and he told me... That's the most sterile water that you can find is your own urine. So if you get a rusty nail, I'm a doctor for 31 years. I still have no idea whether this is true or not. But what can you do? You know, it becomes an old wives' tale. I love that. You've heard that though, right? Didn't the older longshoremen tell you that?
You know what? I haven't heard that one yet.
Oh, okay. How young are you?
I'm 43.
43. Good for you. Okay. And did you grow up in Los Angeles?
Born and raised, absolutely, yeah.
So you know what nachos are. You think you're going to go home and make some clachos?
I wrote all that down.
All right, how can I help you? What's up?
All right, Dr. Clapp. So I'm extremely athletic, lift weights, run half marathons. I sprint, play football. But so my left shoulder.
And you're a righty?
I'm a righty, yeah.
So this is the non-dominant arm. Okay, which matters, right. By the way. Very important.
Right. And the reason why I actually wanted to call you is because I wanted to see if I could come see you.
Why not? That's what I'm here for.
Of me getting a hold of you. So my left shoulder, I was lifting real heavy, like really good. And then last September, right before we went out of town for my daughter's birthday, mm-hmm. I lifted the day before we left, which was like the first week of September. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as we got back, like about 10 days later, my left shoulder and my left elbow started to hurt. And I didn't really, there wasn't something where I'm like, ooh, that hurt. That's going to hurt later. It just started to like, ooh, mm-hmm. right? So now I, like it doesn't hurt when I move it, when I lift it up, nothing like that. Range of motion is good. But when I press in my left shoulder, pain. Mm-hmm. And my left elbow, when I grab something with weight and I squeeze my hand, there's pain. Mm.
I think those are two separate problems. Your elbow itself, you probably have a little bit of, believe it or not, tennis elbow, even though you're not playing tennis. And again, it's because you're in your 40s. And that is something, I don't like cortisone shots. You hear me talk about it. Do you listen to the show? You've heard me before?
I have, yeah.
So don't let them shoot you with cortisone into your elbow or into your shoulder. But I can show you an exercise to do to help your elbow. And as far as your shoulder goes, you need a diagnosis there as well. Both of them need a diagnosis. You'll need an x-ray and you'll ultimately need an MRI. Not just pills, not just a shot. And ultimately, you always want to try exercise and therapy first. But you first need to know what the hell the diagnosis is. And with the broken medical system we have now, They're going to say you need to go to therapy first. No, you need a diagnosis first. What exactly is going on in your shoulder? Is it the labrum? Is it early arthritis? Do you have a rotator cuff tear? Is it just scratched? Is it inflamed? Is it the AC joint? Is it the biceps tendon? I can go through a list of 100 things that I can see that happen inside a shoulder, and the treatment will be slightly different. So you need, Mark from San Pedro, a diagnosis. And while you're going to come see me, how great would it be to utilize the time to have the primary care doctor get an x-ray, but ultimately get an MRI of your shoulder and of your elbow before you come to see me? That would be a perfect world, because then I can tell you, you're wasting your time, Mark. You're going to need to have this fixed, which is unlikely for me to say, but if you have a full thickness tear in your rotator cuff, I'm not sending you to therapy. You need to have it fixed. You're a young guy, still have a family to feed. But if it's a partial tear, or if it is just scratching something, then no. Then I'm going to say you need to go to therapy, where they have stuff that you don't have at home, ultrasound, electrical stimulation, cool things that you don't have in your house that you only have at a physical therapist place. So the whole way to treat it, it's broken the system, because they really are only caring about saving dollars, and I'm interested in saving you. You know what I mean? So we need to first make a diagnosis, see if they can help the process by getting those studies. If they say, no, 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 we're not interested, we're not going to do an MRI, okay, then you're going to come see me and then I'll order that. All right?
Okay.
And I want, listen, I'm helping you. I want you to do me a favor, Mark. Find a total stranger today. Do something nice for them. That's how you'll be helping me.
Absolutely. You got it, Dr. Cloud. Right.
I look forward to meeting you. Thanks so much, Mark. All right, bye. Warriors, let's talk about next week. Steve Paulette is behind the scenes. Hopefully he can still pull sound bites. If not, Rebecca is totally capable, which I love. It's what a pleasure to work with her today. And going forward until this coronavirus moves on out, which it will, this too shall pass. But I'm so excited for next week. Guess who my guest is going to be? You hear me talk about my favorite Mexican restaurant of all time, since I've been eating there since 1983. It's El Tarasco in Manhattan Beach on Rosecrans and Highland. That's my place. The guacamole there is still, without a doubt, the greatest guacamole you'll ever get. And I told you the secret of their secret recipe, which I think he may get mad at me because the owner of El Tarasco is going to be my guest next week. But I don't care. I discovered what the secret in their guacamole is, which makes it so special. And I think they do it so that it stays green looking. But the side effect is it flavors it. And what is the secret ingredient? They put a drop of vinegar. Anyway, next week, El Tarasco. My mouth is watering already. Until then, stay safe, stay home, wash your hands. And I look forward to help the healing next Saturday. Until then, I leave you with Volare. Come.